I want to share a story with you of the abbot of a monastery. It's a Trappist monastery called the Monastery of the Holy Spirit. And the monk there, the abbot of that monastery, was asked about the meaning and significance of the monastic life in the monastery where he is. It's a common question that people ask of people in monasteries and monks. Before I tell you what his response was, just share a little bit of background. We may know of monks in monasteries. We see them portrayed in movies sometimes, usually not portrayed as the life really is. But it's a life that's lived, and these monasteries exist. And most of the monasteries that exist follow what is referred to as the rule of Saint Benedict. Saint Benedict was a saint early on in the church, who gathered with people who felt this call to the desert, this call to a unique way of living the gospel. And what St. Benedict tried to do is provide a guide, a kind of a rule to follow, to live into this particular charism of living out the gospel. And so many, I would say even most monastic communities today, not all, but most, follow what's referred to as the rule of St. Benedict. So oftentimes, those who follow that rule are referred to as Benedictine monks. There came a time in the Benedictine community where there were some within the community who felt that there was a need for a more authentic living of the rule, that people had gotten a little more relaxed in the rule. And so they decided to form another community that was meant to be a strict observance of this rule. They're referred to as the Order of Cistercians of the Strict Observance. Pretty impressive title, huh? Order of Cistercians of the Strict Observance. Oftentimes referred to as Trappists. All those words come from a place where they were in Europe, but mostly referred to as Trappists. I've heard oftentimes questions asked of monasteries and other leaders of monasteries about why they exist. Before I get to the story I'm referring to in the beginning of my thoughts today, there's another example of an abbot who was asked by an interviewer, this was years ago, in a monastery, said, "So what do you do here?" And the abbot said, "We pray." And the interviewer said, "Well, I know that, but what do you do here? What do you actually do?" And he said, "Well, we live this life of prayer and contemplation. It's what we do." And the interviewer just wouldn't let up. He said, "But what do you do? What do you really do?" And finally, the abbot said, "We make cheese." And the interviewer was satisfied with that. "Oh, okay, you make cheese." You know, many monastic communities will do things to support themselves. Some make cheese. Some, the one I know, raise sheep, and they produce wool that they sell for usage of people who buy wool and make sweaters and different things out of. There's monasteries that make different kinds of foods. If you're a fan of Belgian beer, as I am, like to collect Belgian beer, you may know that there are some Trappist Belgian beers that are rather very tasty. And are made by some monasteries in Europe according to a particular recipe. There's a Trappist monastery in Massachusetts that makes vestments, and these are the vestments that I wear. All 33 years of my ordained ministry, I've worn the vestments I wear are made by the Trappist monks in a Trappist monastery in Spencer. So monasteries do those kinds of things to earn income, to support themselves. But what they do is more than that. So this one particular abbot recently was interviewed and asked by an interviewer, "Can you explain to me this life you live, this monastic life, living in this monastery? I mean, do you think this life is still relevant today? I mean, it's the 21st century. Maybe this made sense centuries ago, but does it make any sense today? Could you explain to me what this is about?" And so the abbot responded like this. He said, "First, let me explain this as I would to a child." Because oftentimes that's the best way. If you can explain it to someone a child or younger, you can make sense of what you're trying to say. And this is what he said. It's as if Jesus comes and draws a circle. And he says to this person, this monk, I want you to live in this circle for the rest of your life. But you're not going to live there alone. You're going to live with others. Others will join you in that circle. But you're not going to get to choose who those people are. I'm going to do that. I'm going to put these people with you. And what your life is this. Live the rest of your life gathered in this circle with this community and learn how to love each other. End of explanation. Live together with this community that I bring you to and learn how to love each other. I think that's a very profound statement. It may sound very simple, but I think it's very profound. And I'm not so sure that that explanation just applies to monks and monasteries. I tell that whole story because I think it can apply to Christian community that we gather in and many communities that we are a part of. We are a part of this gathering here at St. Paul's. We're part of the Episcopal Church. We're part of the Christian tradition. We're part of a community. And, you know, we don't get to choose who's here. It's not like an application. You want to become a member of St. Paul's? Well, here's the application. We'll check your references. People gather here. We come together. People come through these doors regularly. And we gather. And I would propose to you, while we do a lot of things here at St. Paul's, we do a lot. Wonderful, incredible things. But ultimately, I think what we're called to be are a people who love each other and try to love each other. Maybe some of us are more easy to love than others, but we try to love each other. There are challenging times that we face. We have differences of opinion sometimes, different ideas. But in the midst of it all, can we love each other and walk together? So often, I think, in our religious traditions, we get so caught up in right thinking, right belief, right doctrine, right morality, right ways of interpreting things, and we get into big debates about this. But in the midst of all that, can we care for each other and love each other? That reading we heard from 1 John is it's poetry. You know, take that home and read it again, but the sense of God is love. Where love is, there is God. That's who we're called to be as a people. And let's not ever, I would suggest not ever forget that. That's the real challenge. And as we do that, as we as a community can love each other, this circle is not some sort of closed circle, some sort of closed system, but it's we emanate this. If we can love for each other, that love expands. We begin to reach out in love. And see the world in a different way. The early followers of Jesus were known by this phrase, see how they love one another. That's in the scriptures. People saw how much they love one another. That was the transforming thing that they offered to the community. And can we love each other and let that love expand? This past week was a rather emotional week for all of us here at St. Paul's. I know it was for me. We lost two of our people who walked with us in this community. Bob Young and Phil Albro passed away this past week. Bob Young's funeral was yesterday. He's now buried in our memorial garden. And this evening at 7 o'clock will be the funeral for Phil Albro. And his remains will be buried in our memorial garden as well. Two people who walked in our midst, who are part of this community. One of the early founding members of this community, Phil Albro. And Bob Young, who had this ability, this gentleness and this sweetness and this ability to just listen to people and be in the midst of us all. He exuded that sense of love and care and transformation. Oftentimes you've heard me say here at St. Paul's, we stand on the shoulders of those who've gone before us. And these were some shoulders that walked in our midst. And we're called now to continue on. And so in this community, in this circle, people will come and people will leave. People will be part of us for a while, and People will be here for many, many years. But together we are this community that's called to love each other and care for each other and make a difference. So I offer that thought to you today. I found that explanation of that abbot to be very profound and a message for all of us. We do many things here at St. Paul's, and there are wonderful, great things we do. But let us never forget that ultimate calling to be who we're called to be a people that love each other, care for each other, and make a difference in our world and transform this world into the presence of God that is filled with that kind of love.